Hi, everyone. I'm WNYC's Shamitha Basu, in for Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. It's been over a year since Washington Post columnist Jamal Khashoggi was killed after disappearing into a Saudi Arabian consulate in Turkey. Following an investigation, the CIA determined that Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman personally ordered Khashoggi's assassination. But the Crown Prince and the Saudi government have insisted that they were not behind the murder. And now, this week, Saudi Arabia's criminal court reached a verdict in the case. Yesterday, the Saudi court sentenced five people to death and three others to years in prison in connection with the killing. The court also determined that it was not premeditated. For more, I'm joined now by Akbar Shahid Ahmed, a foreign affairs reporter at HuffPost. Akbar, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, Shamitha.
What do we know about the trial? Because it was a very secretive process, right?
This was an incredibly opaque process. The trial has gone on for about a year. It was run by the public prosecutor, who is directly under the royal court and therefore under the prince you mentioned, who's been implicated. We know that Western diplomats were allowed to be part of the trial and were allowed to observe, but everyone who attended was sworn to secrecy. So, for instance, the public prosecutor has not named even the five men who have been convicted to death. They haven't named the three who are convicted to jail. We don't know what witnesses, what evidence, any of that.
Right. So no one has been named, but do we know any more details about the people who have been found guilty?
Other reports have previously found that. So the UN has been doing its own independent inquiry, and they've named some of the folks who we strongly suspect are the people now convicted, including one of the men who was a forensics expert who is implicated in chopping up Khashoggi's body. He was, you know, Khashoggi was suspected to have had his body dismembered and chopped up, and an intelligence officer who we know has been traveling with the prince on many trips before.
So the court found that the killing was not premeditated, and this is a line that feels directly passed down from the Saudi government. And of course, numerous investigations have found evidence of premeditation, including a report by our own CIA. Does this Saudi court ruling on premeditation mean anything?
It's important in that it shows the Saudi sense of pressure and the Saudi narrative, but it's definitely not going to end the questions. You've seen the UN experts come out and say, this is unacceptable. The British government, there's an interesting split here in how international reactions have gone. The British government said, we call for justice, gave a kind of vague comment. The only government that's actually said this is an important and kind of productive step is the US government. You know, the Trump administration has said through various channels at the White House, at the State Department, that this is a good step and we expect to continue going in this fair and judicial process. Most people would say this is a sham trial.
Now, the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, has remained hugely popular at home, as young Saudis have been supporting a lot of the social changes that he's brought to the country. So how have locals viewed the verdict in Saudi Arabia?
For a lot of Saudis, Mohammed bin Salman's rise has been a way to express nationalism, pride in their country, and this kind of sense of rebirth. The Khashoggi incident changed all that. It made that problematic. What the Saudis have done and what the prince has done very smartly is not bow under pressure. He's sort of retained this kind of ego and arrogance, which is at the heart of a lot of his support. The fact that now the Saudis can point and say, look, we cleared the prince, we cleared his top aides, no one even remotely related to him was involved, gives the Saudi PR campaign, and especially young Saudis who want to say nothing went wrong here, a lot of evidence to point to. And that's really all that counts.
Akbar, President Trump has maintained a close relationship with the Saudi Crown Prince. He defended him in the months that followed Khashoggi's murder, despite the CIA's conclusion that he was, in fact, in charge of ordering the killing. What's been the response from the White House?
The White House has clearly decided their line on the trial and on the Crown Prince, which is that this is a Saudi process. We're happy to see it, and we'd like to see it continue. Importantly, the White House is acknowledging that there's huge congressional pressure and, of course, public interest in the case. So they're not saying this is the end of the road, but they are saying the Saudi-led road is the right one.
Last week, Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy was speaking with The Takeaway's Amy Walter about the U.S.-Saudi relationship. And here's what he had to say about Jamal Khashoggi's murder.
The Saudis really have shown no interest in addressing the growing concerns that, you know, both Republicans and Democrats have expressed. I mean, what happened with Jamal Khashoggi is simply extraordinary. Not only did they kidnap, murder, and chop up a journalist who was living in the United States of America under our protection, but then they lied to our face about it for 2 weeks and thought they could get away with it. I think that they're unwillingness to change, their unwillingness to accept any criticism is part of what has shifted the debate here.
That's Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy saying there that the debate has shifted in the U.S., certainly among Democrats. Do you believe that this is resulting in any meaningful policy shift as well?
Congress has been increasingly assertive on Saudi Arabia, especially over the last year, with Democrats now in control of one chamber. So you've seen in a big defense bill that Trump signed on Friday, a requirement for the U.S. intelligence community to actually identify who was involved in the murder of Jamal Khashoggi. All of that said, they haven't been able to block the weapons sales that President Trump wants to get through to Saudi Arabia. They haven't been able to even end U.S. involvement in the Saudi-led war in Yemen, which has been a big policy focus. So far, lawmakers have kind of a mixed record, but certainly the direction is towards more scrutiny, more aggressive accountability for the Saudis.
The oil giant Saudi Aramco was valued at just below $2 trillion, but it hasn't been able to attract foreign investors at the scale that they expected. Do you believe that this is at all related to the killing of Khashoggi?
Certainly, that's a factor. Foreign investors are kind of looking at two big things on Aramco. One is the value question that you alluded to, right? So Aramco has valued itself a lot higher than a lot of foreigners would say it should be valued. And then there's this question of, is this a good investment given what we know about the Saudi leadership? Certainly looking at the Khashoggi incident, looking at the war in Yemen, there are a lot of questions, particularly among kind of savvy investors. Is this a good bet? We don't know whether the Saudis are going to ultimately be able to get their house in order.
So this verdict is how the courts in Saudi Arabia chose to handle this case. Are there further trials ahead, either in Saudi Arabia or perhaps carried out by any other international body?
There's been a demand by the UN expert here to have kind of a judicial process that's international and internationally observed. The Saudis would say that this is done for them. Certainly given the American interest in a Saudi-led process, given President Trump's desire to say something happened here, but I want that to be under the aegis of my ally, the Saudi Crown Prince, it's possible that the Saudis will look at more suspects. But as the UN expert pointed out, the people they're going after are very low level. Her comment was, the hitmen are guilty, the masterminds walk free. If that continues, certainly there's a spate of other characters at a very low level the Saudis could pursue, not at a real cost to the Crown Prince.
Akbar Shahid Ahmed is a foreign affairs reporter at HuffPost. Thanks so much, Akbar.
Thank you.